and check us when we are doing something, again, that is not pleasing to him. And if there's anybody in the whole world that you desire to please, it should be God. You should desire to please God more than you desire to please your pastor. You should desire to please God more than you desire to please your spouse. You should desire to please God more than you desire to please your family. You should desire to please God more than you desire to please your supervisor. I'm wondering how many folk in here tonight that the one person you desire to please above everybody is God. Oh, Lord. And you so desire to please him that if your actions are pleasing to him and another person has a problem with you, you okay with that as long as you please God. Give God a praise if that's you tonight. If I'm talking about you. If you are determined to make sure what you do pleases God. And how many are like me tonight? When I am doing something that is not pleasing to God, I desire God to let me know. I even can say that I desire to let a person would let me know when I'm not doing something that's pleasing to him or her when I should be doing something pleasing to him or her. Am I right? How many of you don't mind being told you're wrong? Don't mind being told you're doing something wrong? Get your hands up. Get your hands up. Just look at somebody. Just say, you shouldn't mind because you're not perfect. And tell your neighbor, you miss it sometime. But listen, church, the one thing we don't want, or the one area we don't want to miss it in, is in prayer. We need to be on it when it comes to prayer. Now, I also believe God will speak to us about prayer simply because he recognizes that we can be more efficient in it. We can do better. And if you learn to be more efficient in prayer, it's going to be evident because you're going to yield results. Anybody who has a good prayer life, you don't have to worry about that person being blessed. If you really have a good prayer life, then you're going to yield results. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's impossible to stay ignorant and you got a good prayer life. It's impossible to not know the will of God in reference to this, that, and the other, and you consistently are praying to God in the way that you need to pray. No way. Something gonna happen for you. It is impossible to stay broke, yet you have been acknowledging God in prayer in reference to money, in reference to finances. You ain't gonna stay broke for long if you truly know how to get in prayer and ask God for help. I said, if you know how to talk to God right, God will answer you. He will respond to you. And so prayer is that thing that I love being efficient in it. And when it comes to what Paul said, notice in Colossians 4:2, Paul says to saints that when it comes to praying, you need to continue earnestly in it. You need to be dogged. You need to be dogged when it comes. First thing doggy has to do with is to be relentless. You need to be relentless when it comes to prayer. That's what Jesus said in Luke 18:1. Men ought to always pray and not lose what? Heart. So in other words, Jesus said, if you are relentless in prayer, it will strengthen your heart. It'll cause you to be strong. It'll cause you to be strong mentally. It'll cause you to be strong emotionally. It'll cause you to be strong financially. It'll cause you to be strong physically. I love to pray because when I pray, it keeps me strong. It keeps me strong. I recognize enemies are going to attack me sometimes seemingly from every which direction. And I know prayer is that thing that keeps me strong when things are attacking me. Prayer is that thing that if I'm earnest in it, if I'm dogged, I'll keep my mind stayed on God and I won't let my mind get on the wrong thing. I wish I had some praying folk in church tonight that recognize when you pray, it helped you to keep your mind on the right thing. Some of us will be honest, when we skip prayer, it's as if our mind is some of everywhere except where our mind need to be. Oh, Lord, can I drop this one on you? See, if it's a season for better, if I'm truly dogged in prayer, my mind going to stay on better. Trouble can come, but somehow my mind on better. My mind on new beginning. My mind on favor. Just like Sunday, when God said he is dropping favor on his people, I don't care how much you went through Monday, Tuesday, even today. If you've been praying, I said, if you've been dogged in prayer, despite everything you've been going through, still on your mind is God dropping favor. Because prayer helps keep your mind in the place that it need to be. And the scripture said, Jesus said through the prophet Isaiah, if we'll keep our mind stayed on him, Isaiah 26:3, he promised to keep us in perfect peace. Peace comes from the word shalom, but the root meaning of peace is to prosper. If you can keep your mind stayed on God, you will prosper. Your business will prosper. Your family will prosper. You'll prosper on the job. You'll prosper in the church. But you have prayers to be that thing. You're relentless. You're relentless. Number two, you, when it comes to prayer, you know how to persevere in prayer. You don't just get up and quit praying just because you don't feel a particular way. Prayer is that thing sometimes that you can pray 30 minutes and far as a feeling is concerned, feel nothing. Good teaching tonight. But recognize, man, I got to persevere. It's amazing how when we were sinners, we wanted a certain feeling. And if we didn't get it immediately, we kept persevering until that feeling came. Right? Because we knew it would come. It would come. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all, that first bill or two didn't get you drunk. It didn't get you to high or the place that you need to be. But you didn't quit drinking. No, you did not. You persevered. You got up, went to the store, and got another six-pack. Come on. You were going to persevere until you felt the way you knew you wanted to feel. See, why is it that we will operate in perseverance in that which is evil, but when it comes to something good, we don't know how to persevere? Prayer is that thing that sometimes you need a certain feeling, and you have to be willing to stay there until you get the feeling that you need. Sometimes I pray, and I don't stop praying until I have peace in reference to what I came into prayer worrying about. I don't care what I had planned to watch on TV or where I had planned to go. If a situation been attacking my mind, causing me to worry, prayer that moment has to be that thing that I'm not coming out until I feel the peace of God, until I know all is well. See, you have to persevere in it. Somebody say, well, Pastor, I ain't ever got up out of prayer and just felt a sense of peace without nothing changing. You didn't persevere in it. You quit. Got tired. Come on. Got lazy? Got distracted? I'm going to teach you tonight. Stephanie, really, when I pray, I don't pray with no, how you praying with a cell phone on? Right there beside you. Then you might, God got my whole attention. How? How in that phone you keep praying and then? Well, I pray while I watch TV. You do? Tell me about that sometime. I pray when I'm driving. I do too. But you can't pray that way all the time. Not and get certain results. Because sometimes to get certain results, you have to be locked in 100%. Not giving demons any type space. And that's difficult to do as you keep your eye on the road and what's going on and so forth. Did I say you couldn't pray while driving? Okay. I don't want to angry my pray while driving folk. Because we do it. I do it. But that can't be the only way you pray. Right? Help us, Lord. You have to be taught how to pray efficiently. Because see, some of you are like, I know how to pray. Keep listening to me. Let me give you wisdom that will cause your prayer life to be something that you say, I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to pray. Some of you trying to fool folk. You trying to make folk think prayer is something you like, I got to get in now. I'm ready. Ready. No, you don't. Some of them, we go to prayer, we like, no, I need to pray. Let me pray, because I don't want Pastor to get up there one day and come to church Sunday. He talking about prayer, and I didn't pray Friday and Saturday, so let me pray. Because I don't know when he going to teach on it again. And I don't want to sit in there feeling guilty, because last time he hit the subject, I hadn't prayed like I needed to, and I felt real bad. But let me tell you something. Prayer can be something that you enjoy. Yes. This word helping anybody. When you learn to be dogged. Number three, when you dog it. It means, again, that when you're in prayer, you're single-minded. You're single-minded. See, prayer has to be that thing. If you're going to do it and do it right, you have to bring your whole mind into what you're doing. You have to be single-minded. In other words, this time is reserved for me and God. For me and God. For me to talk to God. For him to talk back to me. For me to praise God. For me to worship God, for me to allow God to know how grateful I am for what he has done. But it's also that time for me to let God know what I need help with, to let him know what I can't handle and what do I need to do in reference to this, that, and the other. See, that's my time for prayer. But if we would be honest, some of us don't have no problem talking to a person for an hour about our problem, yet you have never talked to God for 1 hour about no problem in your life, no matter how bad it was. Some of you have talked for hours to people about a problem, preaching pastor, that you knew they couldn't solve. Yet it didn't stop you from pouring out your heart to them, even though you knew they didn't have the answer. But when it come to talking to God, because you can't see him, you feel though it's a waste. If you talk to anybody else about your problems more than you do God, that person is your God. Including your spouse. If your spouse is the first person you run to, that's your God. Prayer has to be that thing for us when something is bothering us, we know we can talk to God about. If I can't talk to pastor, I know at any time I can call on God late in the midnight hour. Can roll over in my bed and start praying. And know that he hear my cry. The antonym of being dogged. Number one, to be weak, to be soft, or to be a pushover. Tell your neighbor, when it comes to prayer, you can't afford to be a pushover in prayer. You got all these needs, but you're a pushover in prayer and getting them met and getting them heard. It's just like being at work and you know if you go through door 101 that the person behind door 101 can get you the help you need. But you got a person standing outside door 101 acting like they own door 101. See, how much are you willing to get inside a door 101? See, oh, Lord, so I'm going to tell you about me. I'm getting through door 101. First of all, you don't own it and you don't have the answer. Either you can move or I'll move you. Why? Because my answers are behind door 101. See, that's how I look at prayer. I got to get in here and I got to persevere. I got to be dogged because I need an answer for a problem this week. And I got to bombard heaven to know which way I need to go. And not allow demons, because those are the main things you're going to deal with in prayer. Demons show up in your personal time of prayer to see if you're going to be dogged or you're a pushover. If you're a pushover, you get to asking God to do stuff. But in the middle of prayer, you feel like the situation is just hopeless. Ain't no use. I've been praying about this for 4 days now. I'm just done. Maybe God didn't want to do it. No, maybe you were a pushover in prayer. I'm telling you tonight that some of us, it's not that God don't want to give you an answer. It's just you a pushover in prayer. you allow demons to come in to your prayer closet, your prayer space, your prayer time, and grab your mind and take your mind and set your mind on what they want you to think about. No, you ain't thinking about no help. You thinking about it getting worse. Stay right there. No, you ain't getting no deliverance. Get your mind off deliverance. Healing. No, you gonna always be there. Get your mind off of healing. That's what demons do. And they are themselves persistent. I'm a real prayer warrior. Who know sometime before you get a breakthrough, you have got to battle demons. You got to cast out that spirit of hopelessness, that spirit of depression, that spirit of worry got to go before I can talk to God the way I need to talk to him. That spirit of self-pity. Where I feel sorry for myself. How are you going to feel sorry for yourself? And you at the throne where he promised you could get some help. That's the place to be confident in, that what I cannot do, he can do it. He can do it. Oh, Lord, I wish you prayed God and give me three shouts that say, God can do it. Oh, I need y'all to give me three more shouts of God can do it. Look at somebody and say, do you pray like that? Do you pray knowing that God can do it? Do you pray knowing God can move it? Do you pray knowing God can fix it? Do you pray knowing God can heal it? Do you pray knowing he's a provider? Do you pray knowing God done made more folk rich than apple? Do you pray like that? Do you pray knowing God blessed folk that didn't have a job? Do you pray knowing God is the one that started more businesses than anybody? Do you pray like that? Do you pray knowing the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he can what? He can turn it. Do you pray like that? Do you pray knowing God will drop favor on you anywhere, anytime, any place? Do you pray like that? Before you leave tonight, you gonna get excited about prayer. Somebody gonna light up the house praying tonight. Somebody gonna get dogged in prayer and get the answers they need, get the healing they need, get the deliverance they need, get the money that they need, get the favor that they need, get the job that they need, get the spouse that they need. Somebody gonna get what you need by being dogged in prayer. Because before God will move, he'll require you to be dogged in prayer. He'll let you keep coming and keep coming. Act like he ain't hearing you, but he want to see if you're going to keep coming. You have to be dogged. Y'all pay attention. When you're dogged, you pray with conviction. I pray with conviction. Pastor, what does that mean? That means you pray with a firm belief in God. That means you pray with unshakable faith. See, God loves when his child is praying before him, calling on his name, asking for help, and been going through this, that, and the other, yet he can look at them and say their faith is unshakable. See, your faith has to be unshakable. And finally, when you pray with a conviction, you are convinced or fully persuaded that God has all power. I say, when you pray with a conviction, you are convinced, you are fully persuaded that God has all power. Can I drop one? I said, can I drop one? Listen, there's no amount of money that I can ask God for, that his reply will be, that's too much for me. See, that's the kind of power I'm talking about. No disease that you can put before him that he can say, I never healed that. I can't deal with that. That's too much for me. You can be like that woman with the issue of blood who had it for 12 years, yet she knew when I get in contact with Jesus, the issue got to stop. I'm coming to tell you, when you know how to be dogged in prayer, you come out of prayer and issues are resolved. Issues are stopped. You may go in worried, stressed, but you coming out with a boatload of peace. You coming out of prayer with so much peace that God will send you to people that are stressed. How many of you ever prayed so good that God used you to encourage other folk? That means you had some running over peace. I mean, you had some running over boldness. You just weren't talking about what God was going to do for you. That thing was running over. You were getting next to people. God going to bless you. God going to do it. It was just running over in you. Let's deal with these two things, then I'm going to be done. Because in being dogged in prayer, two components or two aspects we need to remain dogged in. That's asking and casting. Asking and casting. Asking and casting. Now I'm going to run some of you religious demons up out of here. We don't need to be asking God for all that stuff in prayer. But what you need to do is learn to speak for yourself. Because ask, in one sense, mean pray. Show me in the Bible where they prayed and weren't asking for something. Who told you you can't ask God for money? There you sit there needing a boatload of it. But the one who told you in his word he got all of it, you ain't asking for a dime. But you'll ask the church. You'll ask the church for money. And hadn't even asked God for it. It's quiet up in here. Who told you not to ask God for your desire of your heart? Well, Pastor, I just assumed because I asked for so long and that happened that God didn't want me to have. You assume totally wrong. Look at Matthew 7. Don't teach this. Because part of prayer is asking. Therefore, some of you ready to leave tonight to get to asking. And let me tell you something. When it comes to God, ain't nothing wrong with getting real specific with him, even though he know everything. You don't want just a job. God, I got the job. And I want the job at such and such place. And they say they don't give no bonus, but you can do something about that too, Lord. I would love for you to open up the door where I get a bonus when I step in now. Y'all gonna make me run. I just dealt with somebody this week that asked God for some stuff, and God turned right around and did it. I'm talking about completely blow that person's mind, as in reference to how he was listening to every single word that was coming. See, that's the problem with you. You let demons make you think God don't hear you. When you talk to God, God hear you. When you tell God, work out a problem in your house, God hear you. Even if that problem get worse the next day, you better step back and know, he heard me. He heard me. This isn't happening here. Then when you know God heard you, you have to be the person that God uses to change the atmosphere. Why? Because nobody else got the email. Nobody else got the message that it was a new day. You got it in prayer. Ask him. No, it's Matthew 7, 7. I got to hear him close. Y'all know I get excited. Yeah, when you get excited about prayer, You want to go out to eat? No, I got something to do. I got something to do. What you finna do? Well, I'm finna pray. Pray. Get excited. I think prayer, that thing, when you live with four and they catch on fire praying, it'll get on you. It'll get on you. Prayer will be that thing you can hear somebody in the next room praying. You in there watching TV, just laughing, and all of a sudden, you just be like, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, do it, Lord, do it, have your way. Yes, Lord, send the money, send the money. Next thing you know, you done got that remote, clink, hallelujah. Do it, Lord, you agreeing. You agree? Why? You know something in that being said that's worthwhile. Something in that being said that's going to impact our lives. That's going to impact our children from one generation to another generation. I come to tell you, when you dog it in prayer, you won't just affect your generation, but you'll affect a generation after a generation. And people will say about you, daddy was a praying man. Mama was a praying mama. Grandmama prayed. What happened to those? You remember them days? Brother Andre said, very much so. When it meant something, everything could be going wrong. But to have a praying grandma meant a whole lot. Now young folk go to their grandparents and they full of doubt and fear. Do you know what it means to me for my children to go through stuff? Yet they know I got a praying daddy. I'm going to share this with daddy so he can keep me up in prayer. That's one thing my children tell you about me. They got a praying daddy now. Is he always right? No, but that don't mean that man don't pray. That man pray. That man can come out of prayer and do something wrong, but he still pray. I know you're praying, man. That means something. To say I got a praying sister. Me and my sister ain't just tight, but my sister pray. That's a praying woman. You don't want just a pretty first lady. You want a pretty praying first lady. You want to know first lady pray. You don't just want a good looking pastor. You want a good looking pastor that can pray. You want a pastor, you know pastor go to war for you in prayer. Don't you tell pastor to pray for something. He will get to praying, and when he pray, you better be ready to step out. Don't you go in there and ask pastor about your heart desire. He'll get to praying with you on that. And next thing you know, you'll see the Knicks moving into their house. Why? Pastor got to praying for. And now here y'all go. One step up department. Knicks, here come the house. Why? Praying pastor. Don't let Deacon Walker mention to his praying pastor about how he want his business to increase. His praying pastor will get in prayer, go down on his knee and say, load him up, God. Give him more business than he can stand. Brother White, there'll be washing windows in Georgia, down in Alabama, if we keep prayer on this thing. Got a business more folks ain't heard about. That business was birthed in prayer. Look at Matthew 7:7. Ask. Ask. Y'all in Matthew 7:7. What'd it say? And it what? That's it. Ask and it what? Ask and it what? Kidding, if I see it for myself. Listen, James said, when you ask in faith, not doubting. Or don't ask amiss. Tell your neighbor, every time you ask, you're going to receive. When you ask according to his will. Ain't no matter if he's going to do it. Yes, he's going to do it. Why? What you ask is in line with his will. You know what I'm asking him this week? Drop favor. Why? You told me Sunday that you were releasing it. God, keep dropping favor on your people. Why? I know that's in line with his will. Why? He spoke that. Better here, better coming. That's his will for better to what? Come. Right? And so if I'm in prayer asking for better, what am I going to get? Because that's his what? If healing, is healing his will? If I ask for it, will he give it? Yes. Tell your neighbor, this is some serious stuff tonight. Listen to me. You got to stop letting demons con you. Now, I'm not telling you when you ask, it's going to happen directly on your timetable. But listen, if we ask it in line with his will, it's going to happen. Notice James 1 and 6. Lord have mercy. God good up here. I said he good. He a good God. Okay, what y'all say? James 1 and 6. Notice y'all got to get here. But let him ask in what? I'm in James 1 and 6. But let him ask in what? But let him ask in what? But let him ask in what? See, you dog it when you ask in faith. But notice what he says has to be absent if I'm going to get it. But let him ask in faith with no what? With no what? With no what? Tell you, Nate, when it comes to doubting, don't let the doctor cause you to doubt. Tell somebody, don't let the lawyer cause you to doubt. Tell somebody, don't allow the banker to cause you to doubt. Do y'all feel me? But tell that person, say, most of all, watch out for yourself. Because you can be your biggest hindrance while you blame other people for certain things not happening. It's not happening because you're full of doubt. You have to remove doubt out of your mind in reference to whether or not God want to do it. Yeah, God want to do it. Amen? Amen. Asking, and what's that final one? Asking and what? Asking and what? Go to 1 Peter 5. Finna close it. 1 Peter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5. Notice this. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting how many of my cares? How many of my cares? Tell you, if you got 10 cares, cast all 10. Tell your neighbor, why cast 7 and keep 3? Why do that? Well, these 3 are real hard. I come to tell you all 10 the same to him. All 10. He looking at all 10 like, give them to me. Give me that. That means give God the child, give him the spouse, the job, the situation, the circumstance, the problem. Whatever causes you to worry, give it to him. And when you give it, show him that you gave it by discontinuing to worry. Done with it. I gave it to you. What I do, Pastor, when it come back? That's simple. Do what you did the first time. Cast it again. Because something has a way of you casting and it coming back. And that's right back on your mind. Get what you got to do. Don't get so frustrated. Well, I see it ain't working. Pastor said we cast. No, just cast it back. Because sometimes, listen to me, I'm going to give you some real good teaching. Sometimes we cast things. But then based upon what we see, what we hear, it brings the feeling back. You can just hear something. And then what you heard begins to deal with you in a negative way. And now it's putting your mind back on what you wanted your mind off of. See, oh, God, teach that thing power. That's when I don't let people come in my presence and start talking about things that I don't want to talk about. See, I'm going to control the conversation and not allow you to take my mind somewhere that's going to cause me to worry. See, if the only thing you want to do is rehearse the past, then I'm done with the past. I'll help you with this present. But I can't allow you to drag me back into worrying. See, why? Notice it and I'm going to be done. Casting all, somebody shout all. Your care upon who? Upon who? Who is the text? Who is the hymn in the text? Is it your pastor? You can't cast all your cares on me and kill me. If all y'all cast all y'all cares on me, you know what's going to happen? I am then no good for none of y'all. I got too many cares on me. You only cast on your pastor what God permits you to do so after you've cast it on him. And he said, go get counseling. Go see the man of God. Go see the woman of God. Because notice, casting cares on somebody in reference to all is reserved for God. Don't make nobody to be God, but God. God, only one can handle that. See, some of you married folk, you mess up your marriage. You mess up the atmosphere in your house, putting stuff on people that they can't carry. God ain't told you to put that. Yeah, he your husband, he's strong. He bench 225, but he can't carry that. He can't carry that, what you just told him. Because that's an internal problem that God has to work out in you, and your husband cannot do that. So ain't no need in you getting frustrated tomorrow. You just need to man up. You need to be a man. Look, woman, you need to pray more. And stop putting on me what you're supposed to be putting on God. I'm just teaching it, right? Children will do you like that as a parent. As a parent, you can only go so far. Can't do it for them. But I did love the days when you could just pen a note to them. You know, something going wrong, you just pen a note to them. And tell the teacher, look out for this, do this, do this, do this, that. And they get home, the note pen back to them, the teacher. And you read what the teacher said. We thank you, Ms. Cocker. We are noticing that he do, and we're going to stop. This, this. But see, when they get 20, 21, you can't pen no note on to them, send them to work. You then got to teach them that the same way you hear me in here, casting this stuff on God, you have reached the point to where you got to cast it on God. Relationships, man, you got to cast relationships on God. Whether it be with people or what have you, that strength, relationships can be that which boggle the mind. Notice this, for he cared for you. Two things that we've done. Number one, it means, this word in the Greek is mila. This is what it means, to take interest in or for. See, when you casting it on God because he's interested. He wants to know. He wants to help. Number two, you're casting it upon him because he cares for you or he is concerned about you. Tell your neighbor, God is concerned about you, about everything that's happening with you. Tell that one more person. Tell him, say, God is concerned about you and everything that's happening to you. He's concerned. See, you're on his thoughts. Remember what Jeremiah 29:11 said. God said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're not thoughts of evil, but they're thoughts of what? Peace. To prosper you, to do you well, to do you good. Amen. That's the reason I got to be dogged in what? Prayer. Amen.